Hey, you want to walk back and see Bob in the shop?
Yeah, I would like to do that, sure.
All right. We're walking back into their sanctum. Hey, Bob, I got Bruce here from WEOL, and we're doing the morning show, but we're doing it live from Vandermark Jewelers versus live from Oberlin since we can't make it there this week.
All right.
Talk a little bit about some of the tools that you use to kind of make this the artwork.
So you just, you know, size and rings today. So you got your cutting tools and your cutting blocks, and you just kind of cut them open, put some gold in there, and solder it all together. I've got a soldering torch, like you said, and then some different files and stuff that we use to finish it. And then there's a whole buffing process that goes after that and kind of gives you the finished product.
Oh, that's a 30-second process that probably took you years to kind of get to the
point. Long time. Yep. Long time it does.
When did you get the confidence to be able to take a piece that someone values so much and start working on it, knowing that he'll return it to them in a better condition?
Oh, yeah. Definitely takes a couple of years. There's a lot of practice stuff. We won't look at any of that because, you know, that was when, you know, way back when. But, yeah, definitely a lot of practice goes into doing it. When you get a customer's piece of jewelry, you want to make sure it's done right.
When did you first decide you had an interest in what your father was up to?
It's probably about almost 15 years ago. I'd say I started with him, and the opportunity was there, and his business partner, who did what I do, was getting ready to retire, and so I kind of had a 5-year window to learn it all before he left.
Sort of an apprenticeship,
yes, exactly.
Say?
So I had about a 5-year apprenticeship with Tim, and Tim was probably one of the best, you know, in Lorain County to do it. So he was a great guy to learn from, and there's a couple different schools I went to, and different things of that sort, and kind of got where I am today.
Right. A lot of these tools, they sort of look ancient in a sense.
Yes.
In other words,
yeah.
What kind of tools? Has it been the same tools that they've been working on?
Probably Tim's same block that he used for 40 years, and I took it after he was done, and it just does exactly what you need it to do. And the process that you use hasn't changed a whole lot, really. It's kind of the same process. The only thing neat that I got was it's a laser welder. And so I can actually go through and hold a piece of jewelry in my hands and weld it while I hold it, which is kind of cool, something that didn't exist 20 years ago.
You do some, obviously, different repairs and things like that.
Yes.
Is there a favorite part of this or this?
Probably ring sizing would be my favorite. Yeah, because I'm so fluent at it, I can do a lot of them quickly and do them very well. You get into some of the different stone settings, not too bad. I'm pretty good at that. Sometimes you get into the big complicated things. I don't always love to do them, but you get them done, and they're definitely just more of a time process.
When you're sizing a ring, is it making it bigger, making it smaller? Or
both. You know, constantly both. Yeah. There's really no right or wrong. There's both of them come in all the time. So today I had probably 4 that went up and 2 that went down.
Here's that laser, Bruce. Let Bob take you back and just show you. So this was new technology that, of course, you can't teach that old dog new tricks. And so Tim Haywood, we just never want him to learn on the laser. How many settings on that laser, Bob?
Oh, 99.
Yeah, so there's 100 settings that you can go through, and Bob sits here, and it's hooked up to, what is this gas, Bob?
Argon.
Yeah, so there's argon gas, which then takes, and the gas goes into the unit, and you look through, and you fire the unit, and you put your hands in and hold, and it's actually, he shot himself with the laser many times, and it hurts. It's a little bit of a stinging pinprick, but it truly is that modern technology, and it allows him, for years ago, they used to have to pull opals and emeralds out because they won't take heat out of a piece to even size it sometimes, or especially work on a prong. Now, 99% of the time, he can do that on the laser, things that were never capable of really being done, now the laser will let us accomplish.
So this allows people that have different pieces that need to be changed or repaired or fixed that use.
He just did a piece for me not too long ago. It was a beautiful opal and emerald and diamond ring, and I wanted it converted to a pendant. Well, years ago, Tim would have had to pull the opal out, mask the emeralds, heat sink them, and all that kind of stuff. It had been a $500-$600 job, and we'd have risked fracturing the opal. And Bob was able to cut the shank of the ring off, get a bail, laser it on in a matter of 20 minutes, and refinish it for $200, half the price, if not more, and no risk of fracturing the opal at all.
Wow. So you do have to look at what technology is out there, even though, as we talk, it is sort of like a hand generational from down.
That's why I wanted you to see, because what you looked at, what he's working on, is tried and true technology of ancient back then, and there's no reason to change what works. But then also with somebody young like Bob, who's old or young enough to embrace technology, this laser has been a great tool. And he says he wouldn't want to live without the laser now.
Nope.
He went to laser school down in Florida to learn the laser and figure it out. They're an expensive piece of equipment, but to us, well worth it.
Right. So you like for being back here more than out on the sales floor?
Yeah, I enjoy it. Yeah, kind of do my work and stay back and get to help out when I can. But
Do you ever see the result of your results? In other words, the people who get to see what you've done?
If I hear somebody coming in and I know they're picking up one of my bigger jobs that I got to do, I do try to listen and see, or I'll go out and talk to them and say, hey, how'd it turn out? And then you kind of get the reward of, you know, their excitement when they see it all done. And
because you're taking something that's very personal to somebody and you're just working on it as sort of as a machine, but you're keeping that in mind.
Something that means a lot to them, and maybe it seems simple to me, but means a lot to them. It's kind of fun to see their reaction when they get it all done.
Right. You know, Jim, it's one of those things where you have a lot of different things out there, but each one of those has a special story or to that person, then becomes that very personal item. And that's really the connection that they have with jewelry.
Well, jewelry is, it's hugely sentimental and hugely personal. And as you said, when we walked in and started the conversation about families and trust and why our name is on the door and why it says Vandermark, and you know how good it makes me feel to have my son back here who I trust explicitly, who lives in this town, who kids go to school in this town, who churches in this town, who's now working on their jewelry and taking good care of it. And so when they drop it off, they know it goes never out the door. It goes straight to Bob. And then Bob's a good people person, so he actually works the floor with me on Thursday nights and on all day Saturdays. So it keeps him abreast of what's going on out there, too, so that when I'm gone or one of his friends come in, because believe it or not, he has friends, Bruce, they want Bob to wait on him, of course, and he's very proficient out on the floor. So he's kind of well-rounded, is where I can't do the shop and never been able to. They took my tools away about 10 minutes after they gave them to me. Bob's the whole picture. He's well-rounded from front to back.